But let's read this together. John 14, 15 to 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And then later on in verses 26 to 27, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So Jesus had been physically on the earth with the disciples for 3 years, and now he was going to leave the earth physically. And in some ways, if you think about it, that setup it was great. Geographically, a certain period of time, Jesus walked the earth, and the disciples could have rallied round him and followed him. But if that was how the Christian faith was going to develop, all of us could only really operate if we were all living over in Israel and walking around in the proximity of Jesus. So the great plan of God was that Jesus would go back into heaven, but his Spirit would be sent to the earth, and then he would live in every single person wherever they are. They didn't have to be where Jesus physically was, but now the Spirit would be wherever we are. So all around the world, all of us may receive his Spirit so that his presence is with us. And I don't think it's a coincidence that that part of the scripture finishes with the words, peace I leave you. Because the Spirit of God, part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And he wants us to be at peace in kind of the decision-making processes and all that we experience in life. In the adult church over these last few weeks, we've been looking at what Paul wrote to a church in Corinth. That was over here, in Corinth here. He was in Ephesus at the time, and he wrote two letters, which we have in the Bible, called 1 and 2 Corinthians. And some of that letter is talking about some good things that are happening in the church, but a lot of it is talking about stuff they haven't quite got right. And when they come to worship as a church, it won't be exactly like what we've done here this morning. Some bits will be the same, but not entirely. And he wasn't too happy with one or two things which they were doing. Their services were getting rather noisy. Now, some of you may not like noisy services. This morning so far, you thought, oh, no, this is too noisy. Do you remember a little while ago that we had everybody spraying water here? Do you remember that? Remember it looked like this?
1, 2, 3, go!
Everybody was squirting water everywhere. I think it did have I think we had a reason for doing it.
Okay. Right, enough. Right, enough. Okay.
And so that was it was fun. It was all part of a message, but it was rather noisy. And in Corinth, things were rather noisy in their worship to the point when it wasn't very honouring to God. And part of it came as a response to the Spirit of God working in the church, but really it was more to do with the fact that maybe the church weren't quite getting things exactly right. And let's have a little look at what may have been happening in the church. So in your gifts, you have numbers. So I need number 1 to come up here first. And if you'd like to stand over here, and if you'd like to open your present, okay, see what you have. You can do it. You don't worry about doing it gently. Just pull it out. Imagine it's Christmas morning, and here we go again. So what have you got? It's a T-shirt. What have you got written on it? Prophecy, right? If you can pop that on. See if it fits you. You choose. It's a lovely color. So prophecy, the Spirit of God had come upon the church, and some of them were given a gift of prophecy. And that what we understand, we're not quite sure exactly how that worked for them in those days, but more than likely that they would have a sudden sense that God has something he wants to say to the church at that moment about maybe something that was going on right at that moment in the church. And some people would have been confident to say, the Lord says. Other people would have a kind of an awareness that God was saying something. And they said, I feel God is saying. But it was a prophetic word. It could be about something in the future. Or it could be about something right there and then. So this gift of prophecy came. So you have a tube. Who's got the bag? Who's going to be my catcher? You're going to come on up then. So here's the way it works. That's your tube. So I will send the word, and the word, a prophetic word, and you're going to be the church catching the word. Okay, so hold your tube out.
Okay, you've got to catch it. Here we go. Ready? Okay, this is quite simple now. Now, we've all got to work together because at the end of this, you've all got to do this together. Okay, so bear in mind how you're going to stand in this. Okay, so God's word comes to the people. Has it ended up in your bag? Okay, so the word's got through. The prophetic word is there, and it's all clearly been received. Okay, simple. Right, you want to stand over here by the brown pulpit thing here now. So let's have number two. Not everybody was given a gift of prophecy. What else were they given, right? Number two. Oh, what's this? Another t-shirt. Oh, it's a t-shirt. Oh, how exciting. Okay. Okay, so what have we got on yours? Knowledge, right. Do you think you might be able to pop that on? Do you think that, okay, so a gift of knowledge. Now, gift of knowledge might be that God will actually tell you something that there's no other way that you would know it other than God revealing it to you. And suddenly you become aware and say, do you know what, I don't know the answer to this problem or I don't know where I'm meant to go. Then suddenly God will then speak to you and say, this, and you say, now I have it. Or maybe even in counseling, you're talking to someone, you just don't know what the problem is, and God then says, this is the problem. And you share it, and it makes this solution very clear because God gives a word of knowledge and understanding. So both need to be in operation because it might need to be working different ways. So you need to work together now to get this word to the church. So here's your tube. So right now you need to be together. Bag, would like to come in? I'll just call you bag lady. That's not very nice, is it? No. Okay, church. We'll call you church. Right, here we go then. So the word's going. Here we go. Okay, the word is gone. Now it's got to get to the church. Oh! Unfortunately, the church wasn't listening and didn't catch what the... So let's try that. It's got to get in your bag. Here we go. Okay, here we go then. Here we go. The word comes, maybe through a gift of prophecy or through a word of knowledge. And it's in the bag. Well done. Okay, it's in the bag. Right, back this way. Okay. Who is number three? Open your present. But you can't guess what's in it. Oh, it's a t-shirt. Wonderful. Right, do you want to pop it on? Right, what have we got? Distinguished Spirit. So that's kind of a bit of a long name. To help you understand whether or not something is from God or not. Because that's important. It's all very well saying, oh, we've got a word from God. But what if it isn't from God? What if it's just somebody making it up? Or what if it's the enemy saying it, the devil saying it? So you need to have people in the church who would be able to distinguish, be able to work out, is this right or is it not right? Let's say, you'll need a tube. Here we go. So we're going to send a word. And are we ready? Here we go. All working together so that whatever God sends, we're going to, here we go. And we're off. Oh! And sometimes, as with Jonah, he has to do things a second time. Here we go. Right. You might have to raise it a little bit. And we're off. The word has been sent. And we've reached the church. Well done. Okay. All working together. Well done, church. Right, back over there then. Right, who's got number four? Oh, hello. Okay, do you want to open your parcel, please? Okay, what have you got? It's a t-shirt. Okay, let's have a look at that. Actually, number five, do you want to come up as well? And you can open yours as well. What have you got? Wisdom. Okay, number five, pop a t-shirt on. It might go down to your feet, but that's okay. It's all right. What do you got? Oh, what is it? A t-shirt. Right, come and turn around, pop that on as well. And what have you got? Okay, so now we've got some wisdom. You see, sometimes God will bring a word. We know it's from God. We're just not quite sure what to do with it. So we need people to have a gift of wisdom to better know, this is what God has said. Look at that. And you cover your whole life with wisdom. There we go. Lovely. Okay, and what we got here? And we've got faith. So sometimes God will bring a word. Do you want to move a little bit further down that way? Because we've got a few more to go yet. So God will bring a word of prophecy or knowledge. We work out it's from him. We then need some wisdom to be able to know what to do with that word. And we might need to exercise faith. Because God may be asking us to do something that really is over and above what we normally can do. And God calls some people and gifts them to have amazing faith. Other people might say, oh, I'm not sure. And these other people say, do you know what? I really believe that God wants us to do this. And I'm going forward. You know, Abraham left his home to go to a land that God said, I'll show you. He had no idea where he was going. Moses was told to go back and set the people free. Hundreds and thousands, maybe a couple of million. Me? But he went. Joshua walked around the walls of Jericho 7 times. Strange message. But he did it. Men of faith and women of faith in the Bible who did what they were asked to do. And God gifted them with the ability to look beyond the natural and believe. Right, so You are wisdom. You are faith. Right, now let's send a word. All the church working together, so whatever God sends, it will get to the church. Here we go. Are we ready? Here we go. Is it in? It's in the bag. Yes. Okay. Well done. Right, I'm going to take the bag away. I'm going to get you to put your hands out because we need to see this word arriving. Right, so I'll keep the ball. Right, come over this side. So what number are we on there? That's number 5. So can we have number 6, please? And I think we'll have number 7 coming up as well. So 6 and 7. Yeah, 6 has got a line under it. Just make sure you've got, yes, you've got 6. Yes. Okay, so open up. So what have we got here? Miraculous powers. Okay, all right. So miraculous powers, and what have you got? Healing, right? Pop your T-shirts on so we can see. So sometimes, slightly differently, God's word is I want you to be able to do something that really is over and above the normal, and God gifts that person to be able to do some miraculous powers. Now, I think kind of healing is quite miraculous, but I think the general idea is people think, there you go, pop it out. Right, so sometimes, you know, some people suggested that maybe healing might be things to do with the body, with sickness. Maybe miraculous powers might be casting out demons or doing other stuff other than healing. But they're both there as ways in which the church may be gifted. So all working together as a church, God wants to send his word. Here we go. Right, pop your hand a little bit away from the tube. I want to see that ball. Here we go. And we're off. The word has been sent. I think it's coming. Can you fit? You see, sometimes can fit. Oh, look! Oh, magnificent! And they felt it as it moved. They could feel what's happening. Okay, we've just got another one. Number 8. We have number 8 coming up. Who's got number 8? Number 8. Now, in a sense, you're a bit of a trouble causer. Okay, it's not your fault, really, I suppose, but come on up. You know, just to say, number 8 is kind of where a lot of the problems were in the church. So open it up and pop your T-shirt on. Oh, so I've told you what's in your present. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry, don't look. Oh, it's a T-shirt. Oh, wow. Thank goodness for that. Right, what have you got? What does it say? Tongues. Oh, tongues. Now, you remember that video we saw at the very beginning? Fire of God came upon people, and they started speaking in other languages. Why did that happen? It was because in Jerusalem at the time, there were loads of people who spoke different languages. They'd all come together for the Feast of Pentecost. And God wanted to do something wonderful, and so he gave the disciples the ability to speak in the language of the people. They hadn't learned the language. They didn't know what they were saying. But they spoke out about praising God, and then people said, they're speaking my language, and it drew their attention. It was God's way of drawing their attention to say, I've got something important to say to you, which was to repent of your sin and give your life to Jesus. And so as the time went on, other people, Gentiles, non-Jews who received the Spirit, ended up speaking in tongues in other languages, not because other people around needed to hear it, but it was kind of a way of saying the Spirit of God has come upon them as well. It was God's way of confirming that was the case. And then over the years, some people who were filled with the Spirit also found they could speak in tongues, but they didn't need to say it for people to understand or whatever. They just thought, this is wonderful. I've got a language. I can speak to God. And so they spoke out. And in their worship services like here, people on the right and people on the left all speaking out in tongues. Nobody had a clue what people were saying. So it was all very confusing and very noisy and getting a bit out of hand because everyone was just doing it for themselves. This is my new language. Not everybody could speak in tongues, but those who did were kind of taking over the service. And Paul said, this isn't right. This isn't working together. This isn't godly. This isn't honoring. And so the word in tongues comes, which isn't very clear. So let me just try and say, we need to have the ball coming down. So let's have a look. Have I given you a tube yet? No. So tongues, here we are. Let's see. So a word comes in tongues. It's a language that nobody, it could be a language of someone on earth. It could be a heavenly language. But here we go. Ready? And we're off. So a word in tongues comes. No one understands what's being said. Can you feel, you need to probably lift it up at an angle a little bit. Is it coming? Do we know where it is? Where are we? Is it there? Is it there? It's there. It's there. There. Is it coming? Is it coming? You can feel it. The word's coming. The word's coming. Oh, there it is. Oh. Oh, and it's all very confusing. Okay. It's, nobody can quite understand what's happening. But I'm going to say it anyway. And so it all comes out and the next one comes and they're all saying it. So we need some help. So Paul said there is one other gift of the Spirit. So can number 9 now come back? Where's number 9? Number 9, this will help. Okay, oh, already prepared, well done. And you are interpret tongues. So this is what happens, is the word comes, it's all very confusing. And so what happens is that it's then given to the interpretation of tongues. So the word comes from the confusing message, goes into the hands or into the minds of the one with interpretation. He or she sends the word then to the church. Here it comes. Oh, and now it's all clear. Now we know what God is saying because the interpreter of tongues has now said, this is what the Lord is saying. So let's have it all together then. So all tubes together. We've now got to get it from there to there. And we know the whole church is working together. Whatever God sends to the church, the church will receive it clearly. Right, tubes together. Here we go. Church working together. And we're off. Da, da, da. Come on, you've done it so well now. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh. If only the church was so excited about the word of God arriving in real life. Okay, any idea where the ball is yet? Oh. The church is in the tube. Yeah, thank you. Oh, dear. All right. So we're going to do it again. No one's going home until we've done this. We've got to get the word to the church. This could be the most important word the church has ever heard. And you've got to work together, allowing the Spirit of God to speak. Here, we're off. Okay. Come on. You know you can do this. Yes, this is going well, I think. Okay. Are we near? Got some bit of healing, some tongues. Tongues, interpretation of tongues. Yes! Well done. Right, do you want to go and just take a seat on the little chairs here? I'll call you back up again in a minute. Thank you very much. Whew. So what did Paul say about all of this? He said, in regard to this whole issue of tongues, he said this in 1 Corinthians 14. Let's read this together, verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. So Paul has given some information. What should happen with all of this noisy church? He wants them to be filled with the Spirit. He wants the gifts of the Spirit to work through them, but they need to get it in order. They need to not just do any old thing, but allow the Spirit of God to also bring order out of the chaos. So we have all of these gifts. So this is what Paul writes. This is how Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians. So let's read this together. Chapter 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Same Spirit given to each one, everyone, as God determines. So God's in control of this. He decides what he wants to give to different people and to fulfill his purpose. So everyone gets something to build the church up. And it's interesting that just after this, he talks about the image of the body. You know, we talk about the church being the body of Christ. Well, that's what he goes on to say. He says, just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. He teaches this straight after he's taught about spiritual gifts, because he knows the gifts can split people up. And also, some people might say, my gift's better than your gift. Certainly, some of them were saying about that with tongues. My gift's more important, so you must all hear it. And Paul's saying, no, we're all part of a body together. And some might be very vocal gifts, some might be behind-the-scenes gifts, but you're working together as a body. That's how God wants to operate. Now, it might be you look at those gifts that we've just seen, that list, and you might say, well, do you know what? I don't think I've got any of them. I don't think God has gifted me in any way like that. If they're still available today, then it looks like I'm losing out. Well, Paul gives another list in Romans, and it says this, Romans 12, 6 to 8. Should we read this one together? We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, it may be one of those in the list. You might say, well, actually, yeah, I can kind of relate to that. Paul was saying again, here are some gifts. Here is some of the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. Find out how God has gifted you and then use that gift accordingly. And interestingly, just before he says this, he talks about the body. He says, just as each one of you has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, each member belongs to all the others. So this teaching about the body of Christ is within the context of the Spirit of God working in the church, each person playing their part, building the church up. It's not about us being filled with the Spirit and saying, hey, look at me, look in this great, I'm really filled up. It's not about that at all. It's about God's gifts working through the church to build one another up. And when we're all working together, God's word can get through because we recognize the gifts that we have and we're willing to share in them. Paul has one other thing to say, and that's why I've kept you up here. And that is that you can have all of these gifts, but if you don't have the right attitude, in the end, they're nothing. So he says in between this teaching on the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, 12 is about all the gifts, 14 is mainly about tongues. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men, who's got tongues? Who had tongues? Right, stand up, please. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Bong. Bong. You need love, otherwise it's just a noise. And then he says something else here. If you've got gift of prophecy, if you're prophecy, come over here, please. Got prophecy in there. And if you are, you've got knowledge and will have faith, maybe wisdom, because you can fathom all the mysteries. You've got wisdom. Okay, well, you've got your gifts, but it says if you don't have, you have faith that can move mountains, but you don't have love, you're nothing. You must have love. So yeah, here's your love. Okay. Make sure as you use your gifts, always a love for people. You want to use those gifts because you love the church, you love the Lord, and you want him to work through you. And then Paul says one other thing, which doesn't really refer to the other ones. Sit back down again for a moment, please. Doesn't say much about the other ones, but he does go on to say about some of the other gifts in Romans 12. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So you must have love with your gift. Who hasn't got one here? Let's see, one over here. Okay, thank you. You get the bag. And you get loads of balloons. So with love, that's how the church is meant to operate, with love. It's not about, hey, look at me, how great I am, and look at all this. It's the love of God working in and through the church that we all may be built up. So the last thing I'd like us to do as we bring our service to a close is I'd like all of us to have something. I've put on a piece of paper here all the readings we looked at today, and I'd like everyone to have one. So I don't know if somebody can just pass them along the line, just somebody on that side there and somebody on that side, just pass them around. Maybe just have a little bit of music in the background while we do that. Just like everyone to have one. And what I'd like you to do is when you get it, I'd like you to roll it up into a tube. On the short sides, like this. So you've got, you can have a read of it first, no rush. It'll take just a couple of minutes before we give one out. So you just roll it up, and if somebody else would like to give out some sticker hearts for both sides, you just peel off a heart and put it on the top of your tube like a seal. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a seal. He seals us so that we know we belong to him. So put the heart on top of the tube, the little join, so it's sealed. It looks a little bit like a scroll with a seal on it. So just pop it across here. And then I've got one more thing I want you to do. Once you've made your tube, you might be able to guess what I want you to do. And at this point, you need to move in so you are sitting next to someone. No blank seats next to you. Because you are going to put your tubes together And you are going to send a marble from one end of your row to another. Okay, off you go. See if you get it from one end to the other. Off you go. Now you're working together as a church. It's not about one person doing all the work. It's about everyone finding their place. Wave your scrolls if you've managed to transfer your simulated word of God to somebody else. Very good. Okay. And I'm just going to pray that... Well done. Still cheering in the church. This is very good. So what this is just a reminder that God wants us to work together, that each one of us are gifted, and we need to perhaps just ask the Lord to reveal and make clear what our gifts are and use those gifts to be a blessing to someone else, to help to be the means of getting God's word into the life of others as we're willing to share. So let's pray together and pray that this may be so in our life. Lord, we this morning have looked at this subject in it may be a fun way, but Lord, we're dealing with something that is real, your spirit coming and working in your church. And Lord, whatever you want to do in this generation, Lord, things may have changed from the days in Corinth, that's fine, but Lord, whatever you want to do now in this generation and want to do now in your church, what you want to do in this church, in our lives, pray, Lord, we'll let you have your way amongst us. That, Lord, as your word says, that you give your church the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, not to limit that to Sunday worship. Help us, Lord, to remember that every day, everywhere, your spirit goes with us. And that, Lord, you may want to use us in a very miraculous way or a very ordinary way to be a blessing of others. Help us, Lord, to remember we are a body working together. And help this particular expression of your church to grow, I pray, as we allow you to have your way amongst us. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.